Please, open up.
How do I know you're the police?
After I shoot you through the door, you can examine the bullet. Open up.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
In a world where laughter was king.
No in a world, Jack.
What do you mean, no in a world?
It's not that kind of movie.
Oh? Okay. In a land that...
No in a land either.
In a time...
Nah, I don't think so.
In a land before time.
It's about a comedian, Jack.
One man.
No.
When your life is no longer your own.
What does that mean?
When everything you know is wrong.
That's wrong.
In an outpost.
No.
On the edge of space.
No space.
A girl.
No.
Two girls.
No.
Now.
No.
More than ever.
Stop it.
A renegade cop.
I hate you.
A robot renegade cop.
You're fired.
You're fired.
No, you're actually fired.
I'm fired.
Get out of the booth, Jack.
No, I like it in here.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yes, let's give our listeners a treat.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That show sucks.
Roll another one.
Ah, damn it.
Just like the other.
That's not funny.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Such bull.
Roll, roll, roll.
What's happening to your nipples?
Just like the other one.
Pulling a big black man.
This one seems to be about to end.
How crazy was last night?
I don't have another cent.
It's a bunch of crap and you're a bunch of old, stuffy-shoed freaks.
I think you'll find that's an offensive term.
Just pass it around.
Exactly what he just said.
Come on, guys, a little effort.
I'll just pass it on down.
And now,
heavy is the head that eats the crayons.
Our feature presentation.
That's true. That is true. That's a true thing.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 14th of March.
Why are we talking about anything else other than the missing airplane?
There's other fascinating stuff, but that is the strangest story that has come along in, I don't know, 10 years.
It's a week now.
It is a week today, Lisa. They are no closer. In fact, they are further away from finding this plane than they were a week ago when it went missing. Because there are all these new details that are just confounding. It is turning into something like we've never seen in the history of aviation before. And I remember at the beginning when the plane disappeared and we all assumed it had gone down in the water. And then a couple of days in, a lot of the crazy people on the internet started saying, well, it got hijacked. It's in Pakistan by now. There's no question. They're going to turn this into a nuclear weapon and we're going to see this plane again. Those are the people that you can't shut out fast enough because they're just insane and they're always looking for conspiracies everywhere.
Right.
It's increasingly. And it's all speculation at this point. As they put the pieces together, it's increasingly looking like the communication systems in the plane were turned off manually and that the plane was in the air for hours after we lost contact with it. Now, what other scenario is there than somebody was doing that on purpose?
I can't imagine. It's bizarre.
I don't know. There's less and less room for people to say, I'm sure it makes sense. that position doesn't exist anymore.
Partly some people are saying, well, the reason they haven't found it yet is because the plane flew for who knows, an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours in a different direction than where we've been looking for it. So they've had to expand the search. I mean, now it could be anywhere within 2,500 miles of where they last found it. Of course, as you know, that's a lot of ocean. That's a lot of damn ocean. 13 countries are now involved in the search. There are 57 ships out on the water looking for it. 48 aircraft are out there looking for it. New information yesterday is Chinese scientists, in reviewing their data, say that they detected a seismic event in the water between Malaysia and Vietnam not long after the plane lost contact with air traffic control, which might indicate impact, plane in the water.
Into the ocean, yeah.
But even that was an hour and a half after they lost contact. And again, there was no, you know, there was no kind of warning signal, nothing that they can find that indicates that the you know, people knew what was going on. It's just, it's getting crazier and crazier. And I can't stop thinking about it, and I can't stop trying to find more information about it. Unfortunately, it's all speculation.
Was it full? Do we know how many people were on it? Because the
239 people.
Wow.
They also revealed yesterday that I'm not an aviation expert, and I've had trouble keeping track of all the different kinds of communication equipment are on board the plane. You know, you've got the radar, but then you've also got that transponder thing that pings. Then you've also got that thing that we learned all about yesterday about the engines that gives maintenance reports back and forth. You know, there's a lot of different ways that a plane stays in touch. But yesterday it was revealed that that two of the different transmission devices apparently have been were turned off, and they were turned off over an hour apart. So it's not like they stopped transmitting at the same time, which is what you would expect if a plane hits the water.
So they're thinking maybe it was manually.
Yes, that's what they're thinking. And if that's the case, who's doing
everything, right?
Who's doing that? Who's turning the communications equipment off? And what happened if this plane...
And where's Liam Neeson with his stupid gun?
Where is Liam Neeson indeed, Kevin?
Come on.
And what's happening to all those people on the plane? Are they just being... when the plane's still in the air, are they being kidnapped? Or are they all dead? Is everyone on the plane dead? And it's some sort of ghost plane that's just flying through until it falls? I mean, somebody tell me something.
I can tell you that I can't tell you for sure because I'm not an aviation expert either, but what are the chances it's still in the air? That's not possible, right?
No, that's not possible.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it has to have landed. But, you know, now because the search area is so wide, now people are looking at countries like Pakistan and they're saying, you know, a well-coordinated effort, you could land that plane there, and now you got yourself a jumbo jet.
But can you go to Pakistan without being noticed?
I mean, I would imagine – I don't know. I mean, I don't know how something like that would work. I don't know if you have everything turned off. I don't know what they can see and can't see from the ground. I don't know if you just are able to fly off the water into Pakistan if nobody else needs to know and you can do that stealth. I mean, there's just there's too many questions for a tiny little uninformed brain like mine to be able to put my head around it. But a week in – it is turning into Lost. I mean, it really is turning into there's an island and there's a guy and he's turning some sort of a wheel and it's a crack in time.
Reset a clock.
Yeah. So I don't know.
What if we never find out anything?
Yes. What if we never do?
Oh my God.
And what about the people who have people on that plane? What about those people?
That would be so horrible.
I mean, you'd cling to hope for the rest of your life, I guess.
Yes, you would.
But you also would probably never be able to properly start grieving.
Yeah.
So it's the weirdest thing, you guys.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a strange story. And in this day and age, you know, when you find out stuff literally within minutes almost, you can get most of the details.
Yep.
Not this one.
I feel really sorry for CNN because they have to talk about it. Really, all the time.
Well, they're making a poor choice.
Getting more and more people who don't know anything to say what they think might
happen. I don't know how you can say that when yesterday they had Bill Nye, the science guy, on, who was giving his opinion on what the trash was that the Chinese released in those photographs that they saw in the ocean.
Well,
they
got
his impressions of the satellite imagery. They're down to Bill Nye now commenting on this. So
they better find something soon.
Somebody tell us something, all right? That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeat Show, shall we?
I'm so disappointed in you.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Yay!
How dare you? Brand new Kevin DeBeat Internet Roundup. It's a big one, too. We got a lot of good videos for you.
Yeah, it's good.
Got Movie Beat because it's Friday. We have Josh Duboff, who is from Vanity Fair, and he's going to tell us about the new indie hipster thing, which is the monocle.
Yes, it is.
Which is half of glasses. It's just one round piece of glass in your eye. And it's not in your eye. I mean, it's in front of your eye like glasses. But it's nonsense. It's just ridiculous.
I just do whatever Mr. Peanut tells me to do.
Right, sure. And we have your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Fool's 2014.
Great.
As well as three-day passes for Coachella. So stick around. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
6 hours and 5 minutes and 40 seconds from right now. Tickets are going on sale for Kevin and Bean's April Fool's 2014. The show is coming up on Saturday, April the 5th. Get all the details at KROQ.com. But it will sell out. So if you want to be there to see Jim Jeffries and Patton Oswalt and Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie If, Taylor Williamson, our friend DJ Mike Realm doing the in-house music, if you want to be there for that, definitely go to the website. And guys, this party bus, this is a pretty good deal,
party
right? The party bus section?
Party bus section. Everybody who would like, who's the kind of person who like to be on a party bus, would like party bus section.
Now, there is no party bus.
There's no party bus, but it's like inside party bus with no wheels.
Right. It's the section right up front.
Yeah, it's party bus section.
The pit. And
yes, it is a pit.
Right.
And I do have a granola
and
bar.
You get parking.
I am a little thirsty.
And
T-shirt.
A T-shirt.
A little party, a little backstage party
it's
with the gang.
Party, but it's like a party bus, but it's not on a bus.
There's no bus.
That's correct.
Right.
So that's the up-close tickets, and you can get those through Ticketmaster.com. Get all the information about the on-sale today at noon at KROQ.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Noon is when the party bus starts. Section.
Well, that's when you can buy the tickets for that.
Yeah. If this picture wouldn't have been Sentinels, it's going to be a party. That's for sure.
That's a fun night.
Speaking of tickets, who is excited about the new Arnold Schwarzenegger film, Sabotage?
Yay!
Sabotage. Sabotage. I don't say sabotage. I say sabotage.
Spock, sabotage the system.
Sabotage. It's in theaters everywhere on March the 28th. Schwarzenegger plays a DEA agent who, along with the rest of his task force, hit a drug cartel safe house and rob it. Well, that turns out to be a bad decision because they start being taken down one by one.
In a world where you get taken down one by one.
If you'd like to go, I've got 5 pairs of passes right now for you early risers. 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers through at that phone number will get tickets to our advanced screening of Sabotage on Wednesday, March the 19th at LA Live down there by Staples Center. And as I mentioned, the movies and theaters everywhere Friday, March the 28th. So you will see this well before your friends. You can rub it in. Excuse me. Rub it in. And say.
Right.
They don't show that on the part of bus.
Speaking of In a World, being played a little bit this morning, it is with sad news, we say goodbye to voiceover legend Hal Douglas. Hal's distinctive baritone added drama to movie trailers for everything from Forrest Gump to Con Air.
What a legend that guy
was. He did everything. He and Don LaFontaine, of course, was the other huge narrator for trailers. The voice of God, Don was known as. Hal Douglas worked almost up until his death. He worked until just about a couple years ago. Passed away at 89 years old. And In a World was one of his signature phrases. He was an icon. And did great work. He never cared for his own voice, though, interestingly enough.
Really?
Yeah. In a documentary that was made last year, he talked about the fact that he thought he had a voice in need of clearing.
Made him a lot of money.
Play a little bit, Bean. You play some smoring. A little touch of Hal Douglas. I don't have any of his actual trailers, but let's get some from his voice. That's all. Okay. We should definitely dig some up because, I mean, it is funny. You never think about those people being real people that you see in the movies, you know? They're doing those trailers, but here's a little bit of him from the open this morning.
In a land that...
No in a land either.
In a time...
Nah, I don't think so.
In a land before time.
It's about a comedian, Jack.
So he just was making fun of himself there. That's from the trailer for Jerry Seinfeld's film Comedian, which is the only time he ever appeared on camera.
Ah.
About him making the trailer for that film. So. Interesting story on Deadspin.com.
folks over there used the Freedom of Information Act to request the FCC release all the viewer complaints about the Super Bowl. And they did so. And then
a lot of Broncos fans saying, hey, how about some defense?
No. Deadspin posted them yesterday. None of them were about the actual game.
Commercials?
Commercials.
Yeah.
Halftime show.
Sure.
As you read the 53 complaints, they only got 53 complaints about the Super Bowl.
Wow.
As you read them, though, you realize that just shut up. Just everyone shut up.
All right. Chili Peppers weren't plugged in?
Here's some of them. Yeah, no one complained about that, except me. But there were some complaints about the Chili Peppers.
Okay.
Here's one. I found it indecent that I had to see the nipples of Anthony Kiedis and Flea. Both men and women should have to wear shirts. There are children watching, for goodness sake.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you not. That's an actual complaint from the FCC.
Wow. Are there people who are offended by male toplessness on television?
Well, clearly that
apparently,
person.
This person certainly is, and I would say that would be evidence that, yes, there are people.
Wow.
The first song Bruno Mars sang for a general audience prior to 8:30 p.m. Eastern time at the Super Bowl was, "Your sex takes me to paradise." Really? How could this be? I have a 14-year-old son watching and do not approve, and neither should you. FCC? This complaint, this is my favorite. This person named Anthony Kiedis was naked to the waist, spelled W-A-S-T-E, by
sure,
the way.
Sure,
sure. This is the mindset of the people we're talking about. Thrusting his pelvis, saying that what he got to give it, put it in you. He was clearly talking about his penis. I am shocked and offended that the FCC would allow this filth. First Janet Jackson talking breasts, then Paul McCartney talking marijuana, then Bruno Mars talking about my penis. Now Anthony Kiedis talking about his penis. Stop this now.
Maybe these people should stop watching TV.
Maybe so.
And then my favorite. I am writing today to express my extreme disappointment in the Dannon yogurt ad that aired during the Super Bowl. It was suggested that the woman lick John Stamos's pants after he dropped yogurt on them. This obscene reference had no place in the Super Bowl advertising, which is supposed to be a family-friendly show.
What the hell?
These are my people, you know, that write the strongly worded letters.
I was just going to say, if you substitute daylight savings time for anything Super Bowl in any of those, it sounds exactly like being Twitch.
Saving.
It's funny. I was thinking, I hate all of these people. And Bean's like, they're my people.
You're not off the beam.
These are my people.
They have a God-given right.
They're doing the right thing.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Sasha Gray, former adult actress, now current mainstream actress. She still may do adult, I don't know. 26.
She sure is pretty.
She's lovely. She's exotic. She's powerful. She's hypnotic. Jamie Bell, the actor, is 28 years old today. Taylor Hanson of the band Hanson.
Oh, she's the drummer, right?
Singer and keyboardist Taylor is 31 years old today. Actor Chris Klein is 35. Actress Grace Park, you may remember her from Battlestar Galactica. Now you
totally.
Can see her over there on Hawaii 5-0.
Yep.
She's 40 years old.
I like her. Really?
No.
She looks like she's 18.
Way.
Wow.
It's nuts. Comedian Billy Crystal, 66 years old. Quincy Jones, Q, legendary composer, conductor, producer. He's done it all. 81
got a,
years
an
old.
Unbelievable career for people who only know him from producing the Michael Jackson records. His career goes all the way back to the 40s. He's just incredible.
And actor Michael Caine. Most recently, I guess, Batman's Alfred.
Yeah.
But he's another talk about another lengthy, amazing career. Always, always good. 81 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Hey!
Oh, not bad.
Yeah, strong.
Not bad. 106.7. Hey. K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:27.
In a world where it's Friday, it's time for Ralph Garman and the Movie Beat.
In a world someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Something for everybody this weekend as we look at the new movies in the Southland Cineplex's Need for Speed. Kicks things off, Aaron Paul, fresh out of his success from Breaking Bad, stars in his first feature film, his first starring role in a feature film, where he plays a street racer, fresh out of prison from being framed by one of his street racing associates. So with revenge in his mind, he joins a cross-country race. Now, his ex-partner, learning of the plan, places a massive bounty on his head as the race begins. So not only is he racing across the country at top speed, but they're trying to kill him, too. Luckily for him, he has a need. A need for speed.
This sounds loud, Kevin. Listen up.
It's loud and a fast drive like I drive part of bus.
A lot of good action. I'm in.
Here is Aaron Paul from the film Need for Speed driving straight and fast towards a city bus and his passenger, Imogen Poots. It's the ugliest name for the most hot girl you've ever heard in your life,
yeah,
by the way.
That's tough. That's tough.
Imogen Poots. You think, oh, well, I don't want to date anyone named Imogen Poots.
Yeah, that's not...
Poots sounds like...
It's not sexy. Does.
Oh, who pooted? But she's hot. She's getting very nervous at his trajectory in his smoking hot automobile.
The bus, right?
What's that?
The bus! The bus, the bus, the bus!
Bell 2, now. Looks like a scene out of Speed down there. Hard left and three, Keanu.
Oh, you mean that bus. Bus, bus.
Ha! See, girls get scared. Guys drive cool.
So is this
movie
a,
is loud.
Is this
me
a
go
nice
now.
Stopgap for people who can't wait for the next Fast and Furious, Ralph?
Oh, how dare you compare this to Fast and
I
Furious.
I know this is going to be better.
This is the Need for Speed.
Okay.
You don't know. Tyler Perry's back. Woo!
How is he back every other weekend?
He makes a movie once a week. Once a week, he turns out a movie.
What the hell?
The man has a schedule. Mm-hmm. He's got to keep up with his movie-making prowess.
It's crazy. Those Razzies don't win themselves, Kevin.
That's true.
Tyler Perry's The Singles Moms Club. See, it's about women who are all single mothers from different walks of life.
Right.
But they bond together in a support group for single moms. And they're together. And it's hilariously funny because they're all single moms. And they have obstacles in life to overcome as single moms. And then... They get to go, no, he didn't. They get together and they drink wine and they talk about people. Hello?
Yeah, it is. Just haven't said anything interesting
Mia
in the last 30
Long,
seconds.
Amy Smart, Wendy McLennan Covey, all star in Tyler Perry's Single Moms Club. Here's a scene where Terry Crews is a man hitting on Coco Brown, and he tries to give her flowers. Unfortunately, the flowers he gives her, they're arranged in a funeral wreath. What's this guy thinking, huh? How's that supposed to impress the ladies?
Hey, pretty lady, yeah. What do you want? Oh, you know, let's see. I want to indulge your every fantasy. I bought you some flowers.
Boy, that's a funeral wreath.
That's because I lays it there.
Well, I look dead to you.
Oh, come on. That was supposed to make you smile. It was a joke.
Keep messing with me here, and you're going to need that wreath.
See? If he keeps messing with her, he's going to need that funeral wreath.
Did you make that
He'll
up?
He'll be the dead one.
Did you?
That's what she's trying to imply.
Did you in the other room make
he
that up?
He might die if he keeps this sort of shenanigans up.
That's not real.
It's a movie. And it's going to be in theaters. And people are going to pay money and see it like a monkey.
Monkeys pay to see movies.
Let's talk about good movies. Veronica Mars. Veronica Mars.
Yay. There you go. Now we're talking.
Veronica Yay! Mars. In limited release, it is the return of all of our favorites from Veronica Mars. Years after walking away from her past as a teenage private eye, Veronica Mars gets pulled back in to solving crimes in her hometown of Neptune, California, just in time for a high school reunion. She hooks up with her old flame, Logan. He's embroiled in a murder mystery, and she's going to help him out. It's everybody you love. Kristen Bell returns, and Ryan, and Rico Colatoni, and James Franco stops by for a little guest star appearance. Here's a scene from the film where Veronica and her dad, of course, played by Rico Colatoni, compare and contrast life's different professions.
You know the difference between a lawyer and a prostitute? Prostitute stops screwing you and you're dead. I got a million of them. Tell me one private detective joke. I thought so.
No, okay, smart guy. Which one of these goes over better? Dad, I'm marrying a lawyer.
Or, Dad, I'm marrying a private dick.
Okay, no one says dick anymore. But what's the difference between a porcupine and lawyers in a Porsche? On a porcupine, the pricks are on the outside.
Zing! I love those two together. Enemy opens up this weekend, also in limited release. Jake Gyllenhaal stars in a movie about a man who is desperate to find his exact lookalike after spotting him in a movie theater. How weird would that be if you're in a movie theater and you see the guy who's your exact duplicate?
That's some Orphan Black stuff right there.
A little weird.
That would freak you the F out. Here are some clips from the trailer of Enemy.
You don't go to the movies, do you?
I don't go out that much.
Is there a reason why you're asking me this?
You know, maybe you had a recommendation.
Anthony Clare, 3650 Rathburn Road.
Hello?
Good afternoon.
Hey.
No, I'm calling to speak
Where
to...
Where are you calling from?
I'm sorry. I think there's been a misunderstanding.
Who is this?
Okay, I'll call back later.
And lastly, Bad Words. This looks so funny. Jason Bateman stars. Jason Bateman directs. Jason Bateman rules the world.
Yeah.
A spelling bee loser sets out to exact revenge by finding a loophole that allows him to enter again as an adult, and this time he's going to win. Along the way, he makes himself a little friend. Chaitanya Chopra is his name. This little, smart, little Indian, cute, smart
he's
little
the
kid.
He's the cutest kid in the world.
They team up and become unlikely friends, and Guy, played by Jason Bateman, sort of takes him under his wing and teaches him the ways of the world, which is including, but not limited to, women's nipples.
And you don't have any friends. Sound like a real loser. I bet you crush ass, though, right? You make up for it with the women?
No.
No girlfriend for you? You can't find one little chicken tikka to get your shrimp tandoori all up in?
Nope. When I do get one, it's going to be a girl with nipples.
Is that right? Well, lucky for you, they all have nipples, pal.
Every girl does not have nipples, no.
They do.
No, they don't.
Buddy, I promise you, they do.
They don't.
All right. I don't know how I miss that.
You look at the shirts. On some, you can see the little nipples poking through the shirts. In others, nothing.
I see. I got it. Buddy, you're in bad shape.
Why does Jason Bateman make everything funnier just the way he says it?
Because he's just the guy.
He is great.
He is.
He's just the man. That's in limited release this week, and I suggest you seek that out. If you're looking for a funny movie, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Tuesday morning of this week, we all woke up to one of the funniest viral videos of the year. President Barack Obama sat down with comedian actor Zach Galifianakis on Between Two Ferns and did a very funny sketch. The president was there to push his Affordable Health Care Act, the Obamacare. And most people, whether they approve of the president or this policy or not, they looked at the video and said, well, that's funny. At least I could take away that the president has a good sense of humor. That was a funny piece of tape, whether I care about this thing, this healthcare thing or not. But those are reasonable people who said that.
Right.
Then there are people whose whole job it is to hate everything the president does. And one of those people is Fox News' Bill O'Reilly, who had this to say about it.
And if Carney wanted to go on Funny or Die, fine. But the president of the United States? All I can tell you is Abe Lincoln would not have done it.
Well, that's actually a pretty good point. It's hard to argue that Abe Lincoln has never one time in his presidency went on Funny or Die, you know?
That's true.
So a lot of high-profile Republicans on Twitter especially have been raising holy hell this week. And we thought we'd get the opinion of the biggest of all of them, the 800-pound gorilla himself, Rush Limbaugh, who joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hey, Rush.
My friends, it's disgusting to see a president of these United States show up on Funny or Die. I can tell you which one I'd like to see Obama do.
Yeah, we know.
Be funny.
If the affordable health care wasn't in there, would you be saying all this?
First of all, I do not believe in affordable hair care.
Right.
Obviously, look at your head.
My hair is beyond saving.
Right.
But I feel it's desperate and pathetic for the President of the United States to go on Gal Zasakanakis, his show.
Zach Galifianakis.
Galakmanakis.
Zach Galifianakis.
Zach. Blah.
The guy from Hangover.
Blah. Hold on a second. I need to take some of these.
Okay.
Well, Oxycontin, get me straight.
Oh, come on. Already?
Zip Zakananaga.
Close enough.
And tout his failed program in a desperate attempt for attention and trying to get people to sign up for health care.
But, Rush, can't you just – look, you're in the media. You're one of the great communicators of the 21st century. You know the president is just going where the people are. His message is for young people. Young people aren't watching Face the Nation on Sunday mornings. They're watching YouTube videos. So why not go to where the audience is?
Rushbo believes they should be watching Face the Nation. That's the problem with young people today.
But they're not.
Well, let's punish them until they do. punishment. If we brought corporal punishment back into the school system, if we spanked them until they watched Meet the Press, then we'd be in a much better world, my friend.
I'm not positive you thought that one all the way through.
Let's just have all of our officials go on television. Let's just make them all dancing monkeys. Let's have Joe Biden get naked with Lena Dunham on Girls.
No, please.
Let's have John Kerry host Saturday Night Live. That'd be interesting.
I would like that.
He's the worst Saturday Night Live ever.
Let's have Herman Munster get up there and do a dance for us. This is ridiculous, my friends. That's why there's only one answer.
What's the answer?
What's that?
El Rushbo for president. I guarantee you if I become president, first of all, I will repeal Obamacare. And secondly, I will never appear on Funny or Die. Unless it's drunk history. I love drunk history.
Don't you think?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Kevin, at what point are you just going to realize that tweeting is too hard for you?
I know. It is.
I'll have to do it four times.
It is.
You can't.
I got that one up in two.
Tell Ruff what you just did.
Well, I wanted to tweet out what we're going to talk about next, which is the monocle.
Oh, yes.
The new indie hipster thing is the monocle. So I tweeted that out along with the link to Ticketmaster to buy tickets for April Foolishness.
Great, good. So people who love monocles can laugh about it at April Foolishness.
So then I had to take that, I had to copy it and then take it down. Right. And then Dave said, Kevin, you put up the, and I was like, right. I know. But second try, I got it.
Wow.
I feel good. That's a record for me. Gentlemen. Thank you.
Kevin.
Thank you.
God damn it.
Sometimes it's like a special needs kid learning how to tie his shoes. It's just, it's remarkable to watch you overcome these obstacles.
If you watch my account closely, you'll see stuff go up and down all the time.
You're not good.
I'm not good.
We will talk monocles. I believe Ralph will be the first on the show to be wearing a monocle, but we'll see. That's coming up right after the top of the hour. First type of the show, Bisbee.
What would lead you to believe...
That would be Omar, and he would do it ironically. But these people are not doing it ironically.
Who would do it legitimately, do you think, on this
Bean.
Show? Yes, thank you.
No question.
Certainly not.
Not even a question.
I would never wear a monocle.
You would wear a monocle?
Absolutely would.
And you would say, I'm getting a lot of good response.
I get ten times more compliments on this than I do bad comments, like you fellas. It's perfectly legitimate. It's a perfectly reasonable way to strengthen my eye.
You would totally do
so
that.
You.
We'll find out all about that. Plus, we've got April Foolish's tickets to give away ahead of their on sale today at noon. And we got a brand new internet roundup. All that coming up here on K-Rock. Again, here's Ralph.
And he'd be saying, I'm wearing a monocle! He'd be saying that.
He would, yeah.
Hey, my geeks, my people, I'm going to give you a heads up. I don't have to tell you already. You'll know that at the Shrine Auditorium this weekend, Sunday the 16th, it's the L.A. Comic Book and Sci-Fi Convention happening.
Yeah!
10 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's not news. That's not what I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you that during that event this Sunday, the good people from Sony Pictures are going to be down there looking for Uber Spider-Man fans, Ultra Spider-Man fans.
Wearing monocles.
No, not wearing monocles.
Oh.
People who know everything there is to know about Spider-Man, who love Spider-Man more than life itself, they are looking for Spider-Man fans to appear in a promotional campaign for the new Spider-Man movie that's coming out on May the 2nd, and they want to... cast from hardcore comic book sci-fi Spider-Man fans. So while you're down there, make sure you look for the casting for the promotional campaign for the new Spider-Man movie. It's a great deal. If they do pick you, then you fly to New York City and there's a big Spider-Man experience you go through. You get a special look inside the film and you will be glad you did it. So here's for details. Go to Beam. Nope. B. Be Amazing Spider Fan. BeAmazingSpiderFan.com. BeAmazingSpiderFan.com. It's all one word, so initially I thought it was Beam.
Sure.
And then I said, what's Azing? That doesn't make any sense. BeAmazingSpiderFan.com, and they'll give you all the details you need to know.
I would tweet that, but I would never get it right, no, so I'm not even going to try.
Yeah. I will miss
the legendary voiceover artist Hal Douglas. He was one of the greats in the industry. He had a distinctive baritone that when you heard him in a movie trailer, you just knew something important was going to happen. He worked for decades, passed away at the age of 89 due to complications from pancreatic cancer. And just a great voice, one of the legends. It was him and Don LaFontaine who pretty much just battled for the king of the trailers. Hal, here's a little piece of Hal's work from the Forrest Gump trailer.
Paramount Pictures presents Tom Hanks.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
Robin Wright.
Will you marry me? I'd make a good husband, Jenny.
Gary Sinise.
I never thanked you for saving my life.
And Sally Field.
My boy Forrest is going to get the same opportunities as everyone else.
A film by Robert Zemeckis.
What's my destiny, Mom?
You're going to have to figure that out for yourself.
The world will never right, seem
did
the
Grimlock
same.
Did send me the whole trailer?
He did. He sent you the whole movie, I believe, yeah.
I want to go see that movie now. Yeah.
Is that coming out this weekend?
He makes you want to go, doesn't he?
It really does.
Gary Sinise.
Just a warm, welcoming baritone.
You do feel like you've heard that a thousand times.
You have heard it a thousand times.
Literally.
My favorite part of Forrest Gump, it just made me think of it, where he goes, I'm not a good tweeter. It took me two times to tweet out that link. My favorite part. And stop it, Lady Gaga. Stop it.
Stop what?
Being her. At a South by Southwest show this week, she added a new wrinkle to her performance. She was playing drums, as she is wont to do sometimes, on a song called Swine. When she brought a special guest artist up on stage to perform with her, Millie Brown joined her on stage. Millie, of course, is a professional vomit painter.
A what?
Oh, she's a vomit painter. She's a vomit painter. She will drink various brightly colored liquids and then vomit them up onto a canvas.
Now, she has a monocle.
That's awesome.
She, you know, she drinks fluorescent things and day glow and, you know, paint-like fluids, and then on a blank canvas, she will vomit it up and leave her artistic imprint.
I love that so much.
Well, and during this particular performance, Lady Gaga was her canvas.
Oh, no.
Okay.
So while Lady Gaga played the drums, Millie came on stage and downed some neon green fluid.
Right.
And then proceeded to stand over Gaga while she played, and Millie, you know, stuck her fingers down her throat.
Oh,
and
wow.
And then vomited the green liquid all over Lady Gaga. You can see the video for yourself over there on TMZ.com.
No.
I think you should. I think you should check out the art. The art that is Lady Gaga and Millie quotes. Brown. What a duet they did together. I can't show you the video, obviously, but I can play a little audio. Yeah, and she was screaming as she was being vomited on.
So, what was she screaming? This is our world?
Yeah.
She knew that that woman was on stage and was going to vomit on her and was okay with that.
She invited her up. It was part of it.
That was her plan.
Part of her art.
That was the choice she made.
Look,
was come on up
some
on stage and
amateur vomiter.
Right. I just want to make sure I understand that Lady Gaga invited someone on stage to vomit on her. That's
no
what
rookie.
She was doing.
There's no rookie vomiter. She got a pro.
There's no bigger look at me person.
She brought the pro Millie Brown on stage to use her as a canvas.
Well, if you're going to be vomited on by the best, I guess.
That's
right.
What I'm saying.
That's
you're
right.
You want to, you know, she's no piker. She's the real deal. She's a pro. Sorry. Oh, sorry, that story.
Okay, don't. You don't need to.
Oof. You do not need.
Oof. Okay, okay. Today's celebrity.
Please don't.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Caine. Michael Caine celebrating his birthday today. He's 81 years old. That's what Michael Caine is. 81 years old. Quincy Jones is also 81. Billy Crystal, 66. Grace Park from Hawaii Five-0, 40 years old today. By the way, Hawaii Five-0 just renewed by CBS. The CBS just unleashed a big list of shows that they're bringing back, and that was on there. So it was Blue Bloods. Dave was very happy to see Blue Bloods coming back.
Dave's the only person I know that watches that.
Two Broke Girls, Two and a Half Men, Criminal Minds, Elementary, CSI, Person of Interest.
Oh, I love
NCIS, NCIS Los Angeles, The Good Wife, all coming back.
CBS has such a strong schedule that they don't really sweat it.
Yeah, two shows they have not renewed, at least not yet, Mentalist and Robin Williams, The Crazy Ones, have not been renewed yet, so I'll have to wait and see. Chris Klein's 35, Taylor Hanson of Hanson is 31 years old. Jamie Bell, the actor, turns 29. He was Billy Elliot, right, in the film?
That's right.
The film version of Billy. Yeah, that's where he got his big break. And actress Sasha Gray. Celebrates her 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Again, a quick reminder, noon today is when tickets go on sale for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. The show is coming up at the Shrine Auditorium on April the 5th. All the proceeds benefit Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. It's a great lineup of comedy once again this year with Jim Jefferies and Patton Oswalt, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie Ift, Adam Carolla, Taylor Williamson. I mean, really, it's one of the most fun nights of the year, one of the best Kevin and Bean events we do all year long. So I hope you'll buy your tickets noon today. Get those details at KROQ.com.
We've been talking about this a little bit, but...
We needed some fancy music for this, Kevin, if we're talking about monocles. Come on.
The latest indie hipster thing, apparently, according to the New York Times, is the monocle. Now, if you haven't seen that, that's half of glasses. That's just one eye.
One circle in your eye.
And it's dumb.
Here's how dare you?
It's
Here's what the New York Times has to say about it. The one eye, the one lensed eyepiece, an item favored by 19th century military men, robber barons, and Mr. Peanut, is finding itself wedged anew into the ocular sockets of would-be gentlemen seeking to emulate the stern countenances of their stuffy forebears. One of the men who took note of this trend in this article in the New York Times is Josh Duboff. He is a writer and blogger for the very prestigious Vanity Fair magazine, and he joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Good morning, Josh.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Are you wearing a monocle right now?
I wish I was. Oh, no, unfortunately, I have not gotten on board with the trend quite yet myself.
I'm glad to hear that, first of all. Second of all, it really is a trend?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. You know, you never really can tell with these sort of, like, trend pieces, you know, because there aren't too many sort of data points in the story. You know, they cite one store, I think, in San Francisco where their sales have gone up, you know, over the last year, you know, by three times the amount. But, you know, it's hard to tell. They have a few kind of like, you know, example people, but yeah.
Yeah, because we don't know when they say a percentage, we don't know if they were selling three and now they're selling five. I mean, it could be one of those deals. But the article does make it sound like this is something that at least a couple of high profile people are doing. Alan Cummings is one of the names in the article, the actor. Then they've got a rapper in there who's mentioned. I mean, is it a fashion accessory? Is that what it is? Is it a, hey, look at me? What do you think is going on?
Both?
Yeah, well, they note like two kind of reasons people go for the monocle look. One being sort of the, you know, ironic sort of, you know, wearing it in jest, sort of a statement, you know, which, and then there's sort of the other route, which is sort of a, you know, a real fashion statement, like you want to stand out, which I certainly think you do with the monocle. So, you know, it does seem like they've at least found a few people. There's this rapper from Miami they found, and, you know, they mentioned that a few older men have started wearing them sort of because they think regular glasses are a little too nerdy, and they actually put, you know, a prescription in them and use them as an actual sort of, you know, seeing aid.
You forgot the third group, which is people who want to be punched in that eye.
Right.
How long till Fred Armisen is wearing one on Portlandia, by the way? That's going to happen next season, right?
Oh, yeah, no, I feel like you'll start seeing, you know, like, I was going to say, like, Portlandia, I feel like I'm surprised they haven't already done a monocle-based sketch yet on their show, yeah.
In New York City, can you walk into, like, the average glass place down there on Fifth Avenue and buy a monocle? Is this an item that's even easy to acquire?
Well, so there's this, like, hip glasses brand, Warby Parker, that, you know, sells glasses online that, you know, a lot of my friends have bought glasses from them and stuff, and they're selling a monocle right now for, I think it's like about, I think $50. And it's, you know, I think they're calling it the Colonel, as in Colonel Mustard from Clue, who, you know, a famous fictional monocle supporter. And yeah, you can, you know, you can buy it, and it seems like they're actually selling kind of quite well, it seems like.
But so you don't probably have the answer to this question, but there are people who wear it to be funny. I feel like if they did it on Portlandia, of course, they would be mocking people who wear it seriously. But the real question is, are people really wearing it seriously?
Yeah. Well, I have to say, anecdotally, I have not seen any on the streets of New York yet. But you have to assume, you know, that the idea for this time story came from somewhere, and, you know, that there must be some, I don't know if they're wearing them, you know, what kind of reason people have for actually going for them, but it seems like, it seems like there might be a shred of truth to it.
Oh. We are talking to writer Josh Duboff from Vanity Fair magazine on the Kevin Beach Show right now about the trend of monocles coming back, which go all the way back to the 18th century, by the way, which I guess I didn't realize. They've been in and out of fashion many times since then. Josh, have you seen, and I don't know if this is just new in the last couple of days, but have you seen the official statement from Mr. Peanut about the monocle trend?
Yeah, so in fact, I wrote my piece for Vanity Fair about the monocle, and I, within minutes, got an email from quote unquote Mr. Peanut himself. he said he was very flattered that I had compared him to Jared Leto because I had mentioned that Mr. Peanut had supplanted Jared Leto as the male fashion icon. I assume maybe you have a similar statement from the Peanut himself, but he wrote to me, he said, it's been brought to my attention that hipsters are following in my stylish footsteps by sporting monocles. I guess they understand what success on a man's face looks like.
And you must have just thought to yourself, in what world am I waking up and getting an email from Mr. Peanut? Like, how is this my life now?
I was going to say, it's a funny job I have where an email I get is statement from Mr. Peanut in all capital letters.
That's pretty strong.
Well, just for our listeners who are going to immediately after this interview rush out and buy yourself a monocle, Mr. Peanut has some tips for wearing a monocle. Focus on fashion first. Try not to blink. And remember, there is only room for one monocle-wearing gentleman in a room. So there you go.
Wait, that's what so Mr. if you Peanut... walk in a room and somebody else already has one, you have to put it in your pocket?
Yep, sounds like it.
Wow.
Sounds like if you're the first guy at the party with a monocle, you get to be the guy at the party with a monocle.
But then when the first guy gets punched, then you can take your monocle out and put
you
it
can
in.
Step in, right. All right, Josh, great work at Vanity Fair. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin Beach Show today. Happy monocle to you.
Yes, thank you very much for having me.
Is that a thing, happy monocle?
I don't know. Got a brand new internet roundup for you next hour. Also, we'll give you a chance to win your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness ahead of the on sale today at noon. When we first came on this morning's Kevin and Bean show, I think the first words out of my mouth were, why are we talking about anything else other than the disappearance of Malaysian Airlines Jet 370?
Now, yes. For people who haven't been paying attention, summarize, please.
Well, the summary is that a plane went missing, a 777, a big Boeing jet with 239 passengers on board, vanished in thin air 1 week ago. And they are further away from figuring out what happened to it than they were in the minutes when they noticed it was missing.
They have a lot of things in place so that they can find planes. Like if they go into the ocean, they can still find them.
Yes.
And
yes.
None of that stuff is working. It's a weird mystery.
We have not been talking about it except occasionally on the Kevin and Bean Show this week. And I know that there are lots of people out there who have been following this story as closely as we have and have as many questions as we do and hopefully have some suggestions, some answers that we haven't talked about or thought about. We want to hear from you right now at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear what your best guess is as to where this plane is and what happened to it. And I am particularly interested in hearing from people who are either pilots or have some knowledge of how airplanes work. You know how radar works. You know how all the questions that have been coming out of the story in the last few days with the way that things appear to have been turned off manually on board the plane. And like Kevin said, why we're not finding any evidence of it, if it's on the ground, if it landed someplace, if it's in the water, why there's no debris, where it could be, why it veered off and started going in a 90-degree direction from the flight plan. Investigators now are looking at four or five different possibilities, including a diversion that was intentional, meaning that what? The pilot just decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to go there instead.
I need to get some sunshine.
Instead of going to Beijing, I'm going to Pakistan.
Right.
You know, the pilot made that decision.
But then people in Pakistan see that plane land, don't they?
Yes,
that's what I would think.
So what? What the
or
hell?
Was it under duress, meaning that some, you know, this was one of those, you know, God forbid, a Flight 93 situation where a passenger jumped up and somehow got into the cockpit and he somehow commandeered the plane but knew how to do it. And then
If it lands, then what? Where are all these passengers? And I don't even think we talked about this on the air a couple days ago. People who had relatives and friends on the plane were reporting that they were calling out of desperation. They were calling the cell phones of the people who should be dead at the bottom of the water of the ocean somewhere right now. And those phones were ringing.
So if the plane crashes and goes underwater, your phone does not ring. It just goes straight to voicemail. Correct.
Right, because it's not getting a signal. It's like your phone's being turned off. It doesn't ring if it's turned off. Same deal, right?
Weird.
So if they landed somewhere, and that seems almost impossible to imagine that somebody would hijack a plane and would be able to land it somewhere without it showing up on any kind of radar, then where is it and what do you do with all these people? I mean, these family members of folks on the planes that are hanging on to that, you know, 0.1% of hope – is it possible that they might find out that their person is alive and being held somewhere?
It seems like such a stretch.
It's mind-boggling. So remote.
That could ever be the case.
Agreed. In this day and age, it seems like it has to have crashed in the ocean, but there's no China thought they saw a bunch of debris. And every single theory that gets floated then just gets destroyed.
Right.
And yes, everybody goes, exactly.
Nope, not that. And then somebody else will come out with a theory and they go, nope, not that.
Investigators say that they might be searching the pilots' homes. They are still investigating all 239 passengers and crew on the plane. Let's not forget, you know, early on in this story, the first or second day, we heard about the people on board with the stolen passports. They seem to have exhausted that line of questioning and have concluded that those people were seeking asylum. They weren't terrorists. They were scheduled to meet people on the other end of the plane. They had connecting flights from Beijing, so it doesn't seem like they thought they were getting on that plane to Neverland. So it's just.
You think it's a Neverland?
That's crazy. It is one of the most baffling mysteries in the history of aviation. Now, we've been flying planes for over 100 years now, and I'm sure there have been big planes that have gone missing before. None come to mind, and certainly none that I can remember. So this story is one of the most curious things ever, ever, ever. Let's take a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067. What do you think? Particularly if you have any kind of special knowledge on aviation, we'd love to hear from you. Let's talk to Dave real quick before the break. He's on line two, please.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. What the hell is our question?
Every day, you know, cargo gets put on a plane that no one knows about.
Okay.
So, and you can fly a certain feet of above the ground without getting caught on radar.
If you fly low enough, right.
Yeah, if you fly low enough, you can fly under radar. So that plane, you don't need, a runway to land a plane anywhere. So
a 777, you need a runway.
This is a huge.
Yes, you can land. You can land on dirt, and you can take off again. Fly.
Are you a pilot?
No, but I'm an engineer.
You're an engineer.
Okay. Why do you bring up the cargo? Because I haven't heard anyone talk about the cargo on the plane. The only thoughts that I've seen expressed are you steal a plane so that you can then turn it into a weapon. You can weaponize it somehow. What are you suggesting with the cargo theory?
The cargo. I mean, it could be anything. We don't know. No one knows.
You mean somebody was trying to steal something valuable, so they stole the plane?
Yes.
Where would they land?
Where could it go undetected?
Undetected?
Yeah.
They could have just, after they took the cargo off, they could have put the plane under the ocean.
But then why wouldn't we be able to see it? They have beacons and stuff that work, right?
Yeah, but if you actually disconnect, like they've been talking about, the black box and the GPS, you can actually fly a plane and land a plane with a GPS unit.
That you just turned off?
Now, listen, Dave, I know that all theories sound crazy. Yours may be the craziest of all, because you're suggesting that somebody wanted to steal the cargo out of the plane, so they landed the plane, took the cargo off, and then somehow got back up in the air and then crashed the plane with all the people on board into the water after they already took their cargo off?
Yes, sir.
I reject you totally.
Right.
But thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
And yet we don't know.
If you said they jumped off the plane with parachutes, I'd be more inclined to believe him.
We're going to take your calls. Brittany, you hang on for sure because I think I love you. And then everybody else, 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Derek writes in, can't call, but hear me out. Systems on the plane were systematically shut off. Why? If you're going to blow up or crash the plane, you wouldn't bother to do that. I think either someone wanted something or someone off that plane or wanted the plane to use as a carrier for a nuclear bomb to fly into a Western country and detonate. By the way, this is the worst fear among all the theories, is that somehow that plane's going to be you know, in Washington, D.C. in a week. Yeah. How about one place the plane could land and not be detected? North Korea. This will come back to haunt us. I'm just a pool guy, but that's my theory. Look, everyone's got a theory right now, and who can blame us? We've had a week of sitting around going, where's the damn plane? So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Malaysia Flight 370 has been missing since last Friday. You want to start with Brittany, Kevin? I know you love her.
I do love her. She's got the best theory ever, I think. Hi, Brittany.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi there.
What do you think happened?
I think it is a huge conspiracy because the opportunity for a huge flight to go missing just happened right before a war with Russia and Ukraine.
So you think there never was a plane that disappeared, that it's just a distraction so that we're not paying attention to the fact that Russia is invading the Ukraine?
Yes.
I like it. I like that theory.
I'm sorry. I didn't get that part from Brittany. You don't think there is a plane? You think there never was a Malaysia Flight 370?
No, I don't, because Obama was coming under a lot of pressure, especially after the Olympics, not being in Russia. He's not negotiating with Vladimir Putin. And I think because of all the pressure, this story just kind of blew up, made internet.
So
he got China to agree, China, who loves us, to agree to this whole big hoax?
Well, everyone's disagreeing and everyone has weapons. So I think a war is about to break out right now in Europe.
Okay.
All right.
Just made international news.
I'm already married, but if that doesn't bother you, I would like to marry you as well.
I think it makes a lot of sense. I really do. And I got to give it up for the actors that they hired to play the family members that are on TV all the time crying their eyes out over their missing family.
That's the one thing, though, is that our government is not good enough to pull that off.
Well, we need three governments to agree.
Yes, yeah, we need a lot of people to cooperate on this one. All right, let's go to Carl. He's on line five. He is in the hijacking column. Carl, please tell us why, sir.
Well, there were 20 electronic warfare engineers or workers on the plane, 12 Chinese and 8 Malaysian.
Now, do we know that for sure? Have you heard that, Bean?
That's been confirmed.
Okay.
They've done a lot of breakdown of who was on the plane. I hadn't heard those specific numbers, but that sounds reasonable.
They worked for a company that was a competitor to Texas Instruments.
Okay.
Okay.
So a pretty big electronic company. But I think anyone that would be interested in those people would have some sort of technology to be able to fly the plane undetected and land in an undisclosed area. So,
and then what would they do with it? Why would they take?
They kill everybody else and keep the 20 people.
Couldn't they just offer them a lot of money to come work for Texas Instruments? Why would you have to hijack a plane and kill 200 people just to poach a couple of employees?
Well, who knows what the intention is? People, and first thought is kidnap them.
Carl, I'd like you to go back and rethink this one. We don't have anything better, but I think you need to double-check that.
Let's go to Eric. He's on line seven. He is an engineer. Maybe he can help us out with some of the mechanics of this, because there's been a lot that's been just frankly above my head in terms of understanding what we can do and what we can know and what we don't. Eric, thank you for calling. What's going on?
Okay, so basically, in layman's terms, what I'm thinking is it's some sort of electromagnetic device.
So you're talking about the TV show Lost.
No.
Okay.
Not necessarily. What I'm saying is how you said everything was turned off manually. That may be true. And you said, like, if there was wreckage, we should be able to find it, right?
Right.
Same with the cell phone.
Right.
If they're on and working. But if you have an electromagnetic device, it can be a jammer. It can be a field in its own. Basically, what it does is it pulls all the electrons, neutrons, everything magnetic within a certain distance, depending on how strong you make this device. Basically makes everything that runs off electricity a complete paperweight. Makes it absolutely useless.
So they could hide it anywhere if it had
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Like you had that first call you were talking about this morning. He said there's all kinds of cargo that the government loads on and off planes that we have no idea about.
Here's what I don't understand, Eric. This device that you're talking about putting on a plane to neutralize all the communications equipment, wouldn't it also neutralize all the flying equipment, the stuff that you would need to actually land the plane?
Yes, it absolutely would. But what I'm saying is, say the plane was landed or crashed, we should be able to track a cell phone ping. We should be able to track any sort of radar. But even the rate, say this plane is in the ocean right now, and you have this device on, working, canceling all electric fields, the radar and sonar that is going into the ocean will bounce right back off of it like nothing's even there.
I got you.
Thank you for the call. It still doesn't explain why some stuff wouldn't float to the top that we'd be able to find it. Maybe we will. Maybe it's just a question of the search area now is so much bigger than we thought it was that it may be, you know, weeks or months, but eventually we're going to see something in the ocean.
Let's go to Chad.
He's on line two. He flies planes. He can tell us what's up. Hey, Chad. Thanks for calling and for holding on, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. What kind of plane do you fly?
We're flummoxed.
I'm sorry, what?
What kind of plane do you fly?
I'm a private pilot, local private pilot.
All right.
My question is, or my theory is that it's got to be a catastrophic explosion that would blow that plane into so many little pieces that it just you can't find it any longer. And the reasoning behind that is that your screener was asking me, radar, whether or not the plane has a transponder or any electrical equipment on or anything such as that, radar is going to pick up a big piece of metal in the sky at 35,000 feet. The theory behind flying below the radar is it's acceptable, but the fact of the matter is that plane has to come from 35,000 feet down to below radar altitudes to be undetected.
Right.
And at some point, the radar ping or the radar track would pick that up as that plane is descending, depending on how rapid that plane is going down.
Let me ask you this, though, Chad. This explosion in the sky at 35,000 feet theory, are you suggesting that something – is there a mechanical malfunction that can cause something like that to happen, or is that only if somebody brought a bomb on or shot it out of the sky?
The latter of the two. There's not a mechanical failure unless it was it would have to probably more than likely be the latter of the two of those questions.
Wow.
Where you have – but it would have to be a bomb that is so large or multiple series of bombs that would blow that aircraft into just
tiny pieces.
Right. Exactly.
Confetti. Right, exactly.
So the radar theories, and going back to the engineers that you spoke to earlier, contrary to popular belief, you don't need a GPS to land an airplane. If that were the case, Orville and Wilbur would really be in a lot of trouble when they landed their plane.
I didn't think of that. I got to be honest.
But they were only 20 feet off the ground. How much GPS do you need to find Earth, you know? All right, we're going to have to leave it there, Chad. Thank you very much. Look, we just don't know. I mean, that's the frustrating thing about this. And, Kevin, you have pointed out a couple times that we just live in an age where answers come quickly. And that's why this is just so disorienting.
We know within 24 hours almost everything.
Right, exactly. How can we be a week on and still not be able to answer even the most basic questions? So it's puzzling. Every day I wake up and I think they're going to have cracked it. But so far, no. But we'll keep an eye on it.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic. Was I too quick for you? Sorry.
What's happening now?
Kevin was on the other side of the room. He was making a milkshake. He was like doing a Sudoku. I was like, we're going back on the air. Get up.
Ralph didn't yell it at me. And I thought he was being ridiculous because Lisa had another 45 seconds of traffic, I thought.
Would it kill you to stand up at least and be near the microphone when it's time to go on the air?
I'll take credit for that. That's my bad.
Oh, is it?
I apologize.
Really?
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, no, it wasn't Doc?
No, that was me.
Oh, that was you?
That's on me. I'll take that one.
Oh, okay.
Kevin doesn't like to be too prepared for when we go on the air, Ralph.
No problem.
Ain't it the truth?
Hey, April Foolishness, tickets go on sale in 4 hours and 5 minutes. You can buy those tickets at noon today for our big comedy show coming up on April 5th at the Shrine. But if you'd rather win them for free, we're looking for contestants right now for Kevin Amin's Total Recall. We're going to bring that game back. It's been a while since we played it. 1-800-520-1067. If you want to play for April Foolishness tickets, call now. We'll get to you right after the top of the hour. Ralph's here now. Time for the showbiz beat.
As I was listening to you guys take those phone calls, it struck me, how much is this firing up Bean's Asperger-y need for information more than anything else that's ever happened?
Yeah, he has to know.
Bean's the guy who reads a story in the news about a guy losing his wallet in a cab and says, hey, to know how he got the wallet back. Once again, there's not enough information in this story for
me. Every story he needs more.
But a missing airplane? Bean must wake up in a cold sweat every morning. What happened to the plane? I need to know what happened to the plane.
I know that you think you are joking, Ralph. But
this is really bothering you, isn't it?
Every single hour, I am going to radio and TV looking for updates on this and reading every possible theory and thinking about it all the time. It really is. It's a giant chasm in my life right now, not knowing what's happening here.
How is it a giant chasm in your life?
How could it not be?
How can you not
this guy?
How can you not spend all day every day wondering where this plane is, Kevin? It's a mystery.
Do you have a relative on that plane?
No, but I still want to know what.
You know what? I could go a couple of hours without even checking.
I need to know what happened. I like to stay current.
Wow. Told you. I knew this
you
was
were totally
a,
right.
A thorn in Bean's Asperger paw.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Do people with Asperger's have paws? I didn't realize that.
It's just making him crazy. Not knowing. Where's that plane?
It's good. It's not going to.
I don't think about it at all.
I don't either. It's like, not going to be anything great, Bean. It's just going to be a crash in the ocean. You know that probably.
But then at least we'll know. What do you mean you don't think about it at all? Are you telling me that no time. No time after you leave this show today is it going to cross your mind, hey, I wonder if there's anything new on the plane.
No.
Nope. You won't at all be tempted to turn on the TV later to see what the latest is.
No. Any other questions?
I don't understand the way you live and think.
Unless I'm listening to the radio or television and they bring it up and say, well.
You'll stick around for a quick update.
No, because there's no information there. But. Unless someone else says it, it does not enter my mind at all.
Yeah, same here.
If 1966 Green Hornet was involved, then you'd care.
Yes, of course.
Well, sure. Because the Hornet would take his Hornet's thing, blow off the door, that would decompress the plane, and Kato would climb up there and get into the cockpit. It'd be awesome.
That would make Ralph happy.
It would. But yeah, I was thinking in the room, I could hear Bean sweating.
He's going
his
crazy.
Voice was sweating.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about show business news. Big week of lists. We had Lindsay Lohan releasing her list of famous people. She's boned.
I love lists.
That came out this week. I know you do.
Sure do.
Now it's a good week for me all of a sudden.
On Watch What Happens, the Bravo show hosted by Andy Cohen, they had Seth Rogen on to talk about his upcoming projects and his recent trip to the Congress where he was talking about Alzheimer's research funds. And they asked him to give him a list of famous people he's smoked pot with.
Okay.
Many of the names won't surprise you. Jonah Hill. Paul Rudd.
Sure.
Comedian Sarah Silverman.
Sure.
Well, everyone smoked pot with Sarah Silverman. Snoop Dogg.
Sure.
Of course. Cohen brought up, when was the last time he smoked with James Franco, his famous co-star from Pineapple Express? Of course, they played two mythical stoners in that film. Rogan said, this is really depressing for me to say, I've never smoked weed with James Franco.
What?
Wow.
Because James Franco doesn't smoke weed.
What? That is a shock.
What?
That is a shock.
He said, that's how good an actor he is. It's really sad, actually, but Franco does not smoke ever.
He didn't smoke before the Academy Awards that he hosted?
No, apparently what? Not. He's just, it's not his, not his thing.
Huh.
So there you go. Full disclosure.
That I will worry about all day. Every hour, I'm going to go back and check.
Why does Franco not smoke pot? I got to drive part of bus over there. I'll see why he not smoke.
I told you yesterday that Matt Rolliff, the one of the half. No, he's not a half. He is a little person, but he is half of the couple that make up Little People, Big People.
Yes.
Little People, Big World, rather, that show on TLC.
Right.
About the little person couple and their family. They're split up. And looks like Matt may be able to cash in on his newfound singledom. He's been approached by a company who want to hire him as a spokesperson.
Yes.
It's a dating site called DateALittle.com. DateALittle.com is an online dating service
that we must talk to.
Specifically for little people. And I'm assuming those who are of normal or traditional size who would like to date someone diminutive.
We need to talk to them too.
Look at the person over my right shoulder.
I can't see her. I see fists raising up in the air just over the console. I see two fists up in the air, but I don't see anything else.
Chip is maybe 5 feet tall.
Maybe.
And is she on
if she's standing post. On a phone book.
Right. That's the smallest person
we got to get her on datealittle.com.
Yes, we do.
Brad Williams, taller than Chip.
Chip can meet someone of her own kind if we go on datealittle.com.
Let's sign her up.
Let's sign her up. See what she can find.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, you ever come near Midgetville? And I will kick your motherfucking ass.
Midgetville. I'm pretty sure it's not called Midgetville, sir. I believe it's Midget Town.
That's right.
And it's we could never find it. So how can we come near there? Midgetville.
Midget, please.
Today's celebrity birthday, Sasha Grey's 26 years old today. Actor Jamie Bell, who it's rumored is going to be in the new Fantastic Four movie. He will be Ben Grimm, the Thing.
All right.
In that upcoming film. 28 years old. Taylor Hanson, singer, keyboardist of the band Hanson, is 31. How are we not rocking some umbop this morning?
I was going to ask you that.
We're going to have to dig up some
umbop. I'm still singing it from the last time we talked about
it. It's a damn catchy song. Those girls do good work in Hanson. Clarice Klein, 35 years old today. Grace Park, star of Hawaii Five-O, although most of us probably fell in love with her during Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
She was a Boomer, if I'm not mistaken, on that show. Billy Crystal, comedian, legendary Oscar host, 66 years old today. Quincy Jones turns 81. What a career and a life this Quincy Jones has had. Conductor, composer,
and Rashida Jones' dad, too. That's right. If he just did that, he'd be worthwhile.
And he married Peggy Lipton.
Oh, right.
The hot mod squatter. Boy, she was hot. 81. And actor Michael Caine, one of my favorites. Michael Caine, who legendarily said, regarding movie making, "The acting I do for free, they pay me to wait around." When someone asked him, "Star of your ilk, Michael, you're being kept waiting here in your trailer while they're doing the lights and everything. Doesn't that make you furious?" And he goes, "No, not at all. That's what they pay me for. The acting I do for free." 81 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Jim Jeffries, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie Eft, and Taylor Williamson. That's the lineup for this year. The 6th annual Kevin Avine April Foolishness coming up on Saturday, April the 5th at the Shrine Auditorium. Tickets are going on sale at noon today. Man, that's a great night of comedy. I mean, we throw those names out there, but when you really stop and think about what it's going to be like sitting in the Shrine that night, seeing comedy from each of those men.
Yeah, because each of those people are headliners.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great, great lineup. Tickets are on sale at noon today. All proceeds benefit Fisher House and Cedar Sinai. Nick, if you want to win those tickets, we got a little game we like to play right now called Kevin Avine's Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to Kevin Avine's April Foolishness, oh yeah! Total Recall, tickets to foolishness, that's what you will win. All you have to do is recall.
One pair to give away. So if you're right, if you beat the game, you go into the drawing. Lisa May, you'll keep track of that, and at the end, somebody will win their tickets for Foolishness, right?
Right.
All right. All right. Let's begin with Danette. Hello.
Hey. Hello. Hey, guys. Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hi, Danette.
Good morning.
I don't know if you've heard this game before, but let me describe for you and the other callers on hold that what happens is you're going to have 10 seconds on the clock. I'm going to give you a category, and all you have to do is name five things in that category. Sounds pretty simple, right?
It does. We'll see how I fare.
All right. All right. We're going to start with 10 seconds on the clock. Danette, you are our first contestant, so I'm going to give you the easiest one of the whole day. Simply name for me five of the performers on this year's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness concert. Name five of the acts you'll see that night on the 5th. Good luck.
Oh, wow. Adam Carolla. Goodness. My mind is going blank. Jack Johnson.
I'm sorry, Jack Johnson is unable to attend this year.
But we will be playing Bubbly Toes at some point.
You were calling to win tickets to see Patton Oswalt and Jim Jeffries.
I'm so excited. I'm drawing a blank, guys.
Sorry, Danette.
I get that.
Thanks for playing anyway. Who's next, Kevin?
Next is Lindsay. Hello, Lindsay.
Hello. Yes.
Hi, Lindsay. 10 Hi. Seconds on the clock. Give me five in this category. For you, it is five professional sports teams in Southern California. Five Southern California professional sports teams. Go.
Okay. Oakland Raiders, Los Angeles Dodgers, San Diego Padres, San Francisco Giants, and San Diego Chargers.
You know what? I accidentally gave you a ding on Raiders. We were looking for Southern California sports teams we wanted. So, yeah, Padres are good. Chargers are good. You could have gone with Clippers, Lakers, Dodgers, Angels, Kings, Ducks, Galaxy. I'm sorry you didn't make it, but thank you for playing.
Oh, that's hard, especially when that ticking starts.
I know.
It just makes you go crazy.
Yeah, that timer hurts, doesn't it?
Let's go to Mike. Hi there.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Mike, how do you feel you're going to be at this game? It's a lot tougher than it looks.
Well, if it's sports, I'm okay with.
All right. Well, that was the last question.
All right. Let's see what we have for you. 10 seconds on the clock. Please, for me, name five animals you might see in a zoo. Five animals you might see in a zoo. Good luck.
elephant, zebra, lion, a seal, a giraffe.
There you go.
Nicely done.
With time to spare at the end there. Congratulations. You are in the drawing. Well done.
All right. If nobody else gets it, he wins. Let's go to Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
Welcome.
Morning, Steve. Thank you for calling. Thank you for playing. You're looking for April Foolishness tickets for April 5th at the Shrine. They go on sale today at noon, but you could win them if you can come up for me in 10 seconds with five animated movies from this century. In other words, we're not looking for movies from the 40s and 50s. Movies from 2000 on. Animated movies. Go.
Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo. Toy Story 2. Toy Story 3. Oh, crap. Frozen. And,
darn it.
Sorry, you only got
so close. Monsters University, Despicable Me, Cars. There's so many, but you did pretty well. Thanks for calling and thanks for trying.
All right, let's go to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hey, fellas, Lisa.
Hello, Chris.
How you been doing on hold? All right.
Yeah, I'm still alive.
Okay. All right.
Still alive. Sure, good. Wasn't sure that was in question, but all right. 10 seconds on the clock. We're looking this time for five. Punctuation marks. Five punctuation marks. Good luck.
Period, exclamation point, hyphen, comma, and quotation.
Look at that! Well done!
And you still had like 4 seconds.
Very impressive. All right, you are in the drawing. We only have time for one more contestant, Kevin. Pick me a good one.
All right, let's go to Steven. Hi there.
Ooh, what it do?
What it do?
Steven already smoking out, enjoying the Kevin Devine Show this morning. I appreciate that. All right, we just finished the Winter Olympics. We're going to look ahead now, and I'm going to ask for you to name me five Summer Olympic sports. Five Summer Olympic sports. Good luck.
100-meter dash, 1,000-meter dash, pole vaulting, swimming,
there's no 1,000-meter dash?
I didn't know if there was or not. I just gave it to him. Is there not? Is that too far?
No, that's too far.
There's boxing. There's boxing. There's archery, fencing, gymnastics.
Basketball,
yeah. All right, thank you for playing anyway. All right, so who's in our drawing? Who's still in the running to win those tickets for Kevin Devine's April Fool's?
Only Mike and Chris.
Yep.
All right, let's hear it.
And our winner is Mike.
Mike.
Yay!
First guy that qualified. Congratulations, Mike.
Thank you guys so much.
You got tickets for Kevin Devine.
Jeffrey.
April Foolishness 2014. Tickets go on sale today at noon. Total Recall. Slow jazz on the rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin Devine Show at 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Hey, it's time for a brand new Kevin Devine Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
This is producer Dave Sanchez, the king of Mexico's tiny little corner of KevinAndBean.com or KRock.com. We call it the Internet Roundup. He's the one who's in charge of all the best viral videos of the week. He puts up on one location. No, nothing for the cute corner this week, though. Dave, what happened to you?
You know, I saw a website where there was the 16th fluffiest animals, and they just took all my time. And yeah.
I would have punched you right in the head.
I'm going to send it to you, Kevin, because I think it would change your mind.
Right in the head.
Oh, there's great stuff this time around. Videos continue to be made about Frozen. This movie, I haven't seen this Frozen. Have you seen it, Kevin?
I have not. No, I want to.
It's a juggernaut. It just continues to draw people to the theater. It's made over $1 billion so far.
And not just kids. Everybody that
Everyone loves Frozen.
It's great, yeah.
Everyone loves Frozen. Right. In case you're wondering what it's about, our friends from Honest Trailers have this for you.
From the studio that finally learned how to make Pixar movies, it's been 3 years since the last Disney musical and 18 years since the last good Disney musical. Welcome to Arendelle, a magical-ish Scandinavian-ish country that's been cursed with eternal winter, even though their main export is ice.
Yeah, it's very, very funny. It'll make you question every plot point in that movie. Speaking of Frozen, here's a guy. I wasn't familiar with him, but I tooled around a little bit on his YouTube channel yesterday. And this guy is an amazing guitarist. He takes songs like Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On and does it like a guitar-shredding metal song. And he did that with Let It Go from Frozen, and it's great.
Let it go.
And he's having such a great time, too. He's having so much fun playing his guitar. It's what a great musician he is. Now, here's a song I cannot recommend. This is from the people. What's the guy's name, Dave, who did the Friday video? That guy.
Patrice Wilson.
Patrice Wilson is back. He's got a new one. Now, he's the one that if you have a little, you know, in this case, 10-year-old girl who wants to make a music video, you pay this guy, Patrice Wilson, to write a song and do a video. This poor little girl, she's so cute, but the song is called Get in My Car, and you'll hear a little bit of the rap in the song before she comes in and attempts to sing.
I would rather ride a horse right now. The traffic must be very bad down there. Wait, did I bring a toothbrush today? Oh, well, where's a very good place to ride my horse? Santa Monica? Las Vegas? Where's my coffee mug? Hey, there's a China girl!
Very timely Chitty Chitty Bang Bang song.
Mm-hmm. Well, she and her little friends are flying in a car above the earth, like the movie Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. But it's so, you guys may have to spend, we may have to honestly spend some more time on this song because we're not getting the magic
of
just how bad it is. Now, on the flip side of that is one of the world's greatest entertainers, our friend, the rapper from Detroit, GMC Fauxshow. He's the guy who does I'm the Best, and he does Birthdays, and he does Rifle Burst, and so many of our other favorite songs. This is a great new song that he has. We'll just hear a tiny bit of it, but you owe it to yourself to go to the roundup and see the whole thing. He's now too swag for clothes.
It's gotten to the point where, you know what, I just got to do it like this. I'm sorry. So here we go. I'm too swag for clothes. 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 I'm too swag for clothes.
Yeah, he doesn't put a lot of work into the lyrics.
There's a lot more lyrics to the song than just what we heard, but he's naked in the whole video, and it's very funny because he's too swag for clothes, guys. He's swagnificent. Come on. Speaking of our favorite rappers on the Kevin Amin Show, Mac Lethal is back. He's out of Atlanta. He's one of the world's fastest rappers, and I don't know if this is a new series that he's going to be doing, but he has it's a topical commentary. It's Mac Lethal raps the news, basically. This one's called What the F is Happening in Ukraine.
There's a war going on in the Ukraine. They overthrew their old government, so they do things as a sovereign nation now, creating new change. But this change of color on Vladimir Putin's mood ring. Russian soldiers just went to Crimea, and they were holding tools like they bought a desk at IKEA, which made Barack Obama start bluffing. He talked real tough, and then he did absolutely nothing.
All of Mac's videos are one-take productions, too, by the way. No edits in his
That's
video.
That's how I want my news.
I'd watch the news if somebody was rapping.
Yeah, because he also talks about the girl who sued her parents for not sending her to college. Right. And it's great. I was like, oh, I'm so informed.
Hey, Wolf Blitzer, listen up, man. This is how you ought to be doing the news. This one got a lot of talk this week. It's called First Kiss, and the premise was perfect strangers who've never met before are asked to kiss each other on camera. Now, for some people, Lisa, I know you're one of them, a little bit of the shine is off of it when you found out that they were hired as models and actresses, and this is actually a commercial, you know, for a clothing company.
Right.
But they are still strangers, and they are still kissing for the first time, and it's all still pretty darned awkward.
Hi.
Hi.
Can we just do this anytime?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, take your time. We're ready.
Can you turn off the lights? Come on.
Justin. How are you?
Nice to
Shall
meet
we make
you.
Out?
Absolutely.
This here is the awkward moment.
Since you're an actress, you've done this before.
A little bit.
Okay,
let's do it. Like, it's not awkward enough to kiss somebody even if you're dating them for the first time. That's you know what true. I mean? These are people who just met.
Yeah, but to me, once I found out they were actors, it all went out the window. It was
really?
Just, yeah.
Because
like, you got hired for something, and then they tell you, all right, you're going to kiss this person, and it's acting.
So it's
done, but it's a well-done video.
Kevin Bacon is back. He has a very funny video where it's occurring to him that maybe people aren't especially younger people are not appreciating the 80s as much as they should.
Oh, hi. I'm two-time Saturn Award nominee Kevin Bacon, and I would like to talk to you about 80s awareness. All you guys born after 1985 have no idea how hard life was. If I was too shy to ask a girl out, there was no OK Twinder. I went to the White Pages.
and called her house. And then you had to make small talk with her mom for like 20 minutes before Alicia even came to the phone. And let me tell you, when she turns down your invitation to Sparrow's, you can't just swipe away the hurt.
Our final two videos of this week's Internet Roundup both come from our friend Jimmy Kimmel. He's in Austin, Texas this week doing his late night show on ABC. And he did a very funny, you know, everybody's trying to guess who's going to be the stars of this True Detective 2. That HBO series is coming back. But Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey are not going to star in it next year. So who's it going to be? Well, it's going to be Jimmy Kimmel and Seth Rogen. That's who it's going to be.
What do you think being paired with him?
What I think? Well, you don't pick your parents and you don't pick your partner. You need to understand, Seth was intense. He came out of years of deep narco.
I put a great deal of terrible in my body when I was under. Swallowed a whole bottle of children's Tylenol PM, and not just the pills. The bottle, Costco size. Pooped out the whole bottle, opened it, ate its contents. That was for breakfast.
I'm in. Hire those guys. And finally, one of the great features that Jimmy does is Lie Witness News. This is where they go out on the street and they ask people things. Well, in this case, they're at South by Southwest, the music festival in Austin. So they're asking about all these hot bands, none of which exist. But of course, the people being interviewed don't want to appear like they're out of the loop. So they just pretend they've heard of them and hilarity ensues.
The big buzz on the street, what a lot of people have been talking to us about this here on the scene at South by Southwest is Contact Dermatitis. Do you think that he has what it takes to really make it into the big time?
Absolutely. Hopefully they go all the way.
Do you think Neil Patrick Harrison has a chance of breaking out into the mainstream? Or
I definitely think so. They have a pretty good sound, so I like their music a lot. It's very entertaining.
You know they don't exist, right, lady? You can see all these videos and so much more. Just go to KROQ.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
It is 8:40.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
And?
Come on. And?
Come on.
Here's the thing.
Again?
Always.
We have two features for Bean. Always, because you force us. We have two features for Bean now because of his Asperger's. One is thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Right.
The other is the old school thanks for that info, Bean. So while you're listening to commercials or a song, perhaps you're in your car, you're stuck in traffic, you're singing along to the song, we're listening to Bean have inane conversation with himself.
All right. Now, first of all, I would like to say again for the record, you guys are picking on what is considered in most workplaces office conversation. This is what you do. You talk to your coworkers in between times where you're working,
right,
and you say, hey, did you see the thing?
But,
or hey, what about that? Or hey, are you going to go do this? That's what people do.
Right. But those of us who don't have Asperger's can tell what the other person is interested in. For example, when I talked to Ralph today, I said, how are your Flyers doing?
Yes.
Yes. And we had a conversation about it.
Because hockey is, you know, there's 15, 16 games left. It's coming up to
only
playoff
the top three teams.
I knew Ralph would be interested in that conversation.
I talk about sports stuff, too, just as much as you do.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Hi. By the way, I wrote these all down verbatim. I had a chicken pot pie for dinner last night.
How is that conversation?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Would even you, in your Aspergery world, consider that a conversation?
We weren't
with
going around the room talking about what we had for dinner.
Jeez.
Nothing.
It was just the last time any of us told you what we had for dinner.
Hey, when was the last time anybody here had a chicken pot pie? Anyone? What was that? Salvo.
Guys, perhaps the point is that we don't often think of chicken pot pies because it's more of something you associate with when you're a kid growing up.
Had a goal with this conversation?
No. What I'm saying is I brought it up because I had a chicken pot pie and it was awesome. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to drop some of this new knowledge on my coworkers because maybe they might want to go back to the chicken pot pie.
No, that's not what you thought at all. No.
Thanks for that info, B.
You're just on the chicken pot pie awareness board.
I just found out that the Weather Channel got dropped.
Now, that was big news,
by
the way.
Hold on. No one said anything. Bean continues. And that's the theme of this one. No one said anything. Bean continues. It's the latest in a dispute with DirecTV. Still no one said anything. So wouldn't you go, well, maybe the people I'm talking to aren't interested. You know how I feel about the weather.
Yeah.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Yeah, we know.
Well, this Weather Nation that they're using instead of DirecTV is a poor substitute, I'll tell you that.
I didn't even notice, and I have DirecTV.
Of course not,
never
Lisa,
noticed.
Because you have a life.
Yeah.
I got to get me a polar bear.
What?
See?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
God damn you. That was sad. How dare you use that I'm making said. Conversation with people defense.
I got to get me a polar bear was said out loud.
Because polar bears are amazing.
Here is Bean talks. No one responds. Bean continues. I read a book last night about Tammy Wynette. No one said anything. It's fascinating. Nothing. I found out about it because it's the same author that wrote the Neil Young book. Nothing. And I thought, what else did he write? No one. And I found out he wrote the book on Tammy Wynette. Nothing. It's really good.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Now, when a conversation goes on for 3 minutes and there's no response.
When you're five statements in.
Don't even you realize no one cares?
I just assumed you guys were out of the room. I guess I didn't know.
Wait a minute. So, if you assumed we were out of the room, you said I'm going to continue having a conversation with no one that is circulating?
No. What I mean is five sentences in, when I didn't hear anything, I thought, oh, they must be out of the room.
It can't possibly be that they're not interested in a book about Tammy Wynette.
I would find that very difficult to believe, first of all, because she's Stand By Your Man. Come on.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
And here's another Bean talks and no one responds. And this is a long one. This is really spectacular. And he starts it with the kind of sentence that drives us crazy because it's a question and it begs for somebody to say, okay, what are you talking
right.
about?
Right, I'll bite.
Now what am I supposed to do?
Oh, okay.
That's the worst.
Yeah, just put it out there.
No one said anything. It's National Pancake Day. And Tuesday is my IHOP day. This happened to be on a Tuesday. No one said anything. Is it going to be worth it for me to go, or will it be all crowded? And no one said anything for about 30 seconds this time. Then he continues. Last year, my birthday fell on a Thursday. And Thursdays are my Denny's days. Nothing. I was able to get a free Grand Slam at Denny's for my birthday. Nobody was responding to him for the whole thing. What do you
make, you make it sound dumb when you read it like that.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
They should call it that show, that name, on their own network. That I would watch.
Yeah. F and Lindsay.
Yeah.
I like it. Hey, 3 hours and 5 minutes away from tickets going on sale for Jim Jefferies, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie F., to our friend Taylor Williamson. Don't put Taylor and Eddie next to each other backstage, by the way. That feud is heating up between those two guys.
On. Got race war.
Anyway, at noon today, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. All proceeds benefit Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NIQ. Details at KROQ.com. And don't forget, if you love the Kevin and Bean Show and or want to be up close and personal, you want to get the party bus section through Ticketmaster.com.
Everybody in a party bus.
There's no party bus.
No party bus involved, no.
No, they won't let me draw no more.
But it does give you backstage access. There's a little bit of a party that we're having. You get a T-shirt. You get the parking. It's a pretty good deal in the best seats in the house there at the Shrine. So Kevin and Bean, April Foolishness 2014, noon today. Details at KROQ.com. Hey, Ruff Garman.
Speaking of tickets, been talking about it all week. My favorite time of year, Paley Fest time. Paley Fest 2014 is going on right now, March 13th through the 28th. It's just the greatest thing ever. If you're a TV fan, you get to spend the evening with your casts and creative teams of your favorite TV shows, past and present. Great lineup this year. You can go to paleycenter.org for more information and to see if any tickets are available for any of these shows. A lot of them, I would say most of them, sold out already. But I've got your tickets, especially if you're a Parks and Recreation fan.
Yeah!
How'd you like to spend the evening with that bunch of zanies? March the 18th, it's happening at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland. One winner right now at 1-800-520-1067 gets in. Since it's March the 18th, that's when the event is happening. How about caller number 18 gets a pair of tickets to go see the Parks and Recreation Gang?
That's one of those shows, Ralph, that I can't believe is still on the air only because it has so many great cast members who are breakouts. You know, Adam Scott has his thing, Chris Pratt, obviously Amy Poehler's busy, yet they still keep coming back year after year for that show. It's amazing.
Can't wait to see Guardians of the Galaxy, by the way, with Chris Pratt. Looks awesome. Have you seen the trailer for that yet?
I don't think I have.
You should check it out. Looks good.
Loud?
Yeah, I think it's going to be loud enough for you.
I mean.
The Kevin and Bean curse continues.
What are you talking about?
You guys talked to Chloe Sevigny last week regarding her new show, Those Who Kill.
Yeah, she was a great guest, too. Yeah. She was so much fun, and that show sounded good.
I'm sorry that you liked her so much and killed her show. I don't know. I feel bad for you.
It's already off the air?
A&E has announced it has canceled her new show, Those Who Kill, after just two episodes.
I still have them on my DVR.
Well, like, enjoy them. Savor them, because there's just two of them. So just wallow in the two of themness.
I think they gave it a fair shot with those two episodes to dominate the ratings.
Yeah, Bates Motel will be taking over the Monday night time slot.
That's a good show.
A&E is expected to blow off the remaining eight episodes of Those Who Kill that have yet to air at another time in its schedule, so you may see the rest of them.
I'm sad for Chloe, though.
Well, I'm sorry. You ruined her career. In music news, got to give Lorde credit. She is a self-possessed young lady, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 17, she knows what she wants. It doesn't take less. She was offered the opening act on Katy Perry's Prismatic Tour. She turned it down.
No kidding.
Yeah. She said, in the really early stages of an artist's career, it's important for them to establish themselves for themselves. I'm just basically really stubborn, and I want to be really independent. So I want to be headlining my own shows instead of supporting someone else's, which I think is fair enough, she said.
Wow.
So she'd rather play smaller venues with less people for less money and do her own show than to open up for Katy Perry and put on a whipped cream bikini. And
no. Well, I don't think she has to do that.
Lick
I
mean, a candy cane or whatever she's doing these days. So
I guess I hear where she's coming from.
Yeah, but that's how most people do get noticed, is they go out and try to win over those crowds. It's a tough gig, but everyone seems to do it.
I applaud her confidence and her also... She doesn't sound needy. It doesn't like she needs more fans or more attention or more money or whatever reason anyone does those opening acts, which invariably it's a clash. I mean, the people are there to see Katy Perry. They're not there to see Lorde, and it's a very different style of music, and it, you know, probably wouldn't be a good mix. And she recognizes that, and she's doing her own shows. Good for her. Speaking of shows, Kiss has had a lot of attention the past couple months because they're being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they are they all hate each other. We know that. So it's surprise.
I don't think Gene and Paul hate each other.
Paul said Gene's autobiography was BS.
Well, he's a blowhard.
He is a blowhard.
Yeah, well, doesn't sound like they love each other. It wasn't like Paul said, wow, I love Gene's book, but mine is also good. Please buy it.
Yeah.
He said, Gene's book makes him look like he's the only person in the world, and it's wildly inaccurate. Not the kind of thing a friend says.
All right.
Anyway, this is the surprise, is they're going to do an all-acoustic show with no makeup to celebrate their induction April the 3rd at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino.
Wait. They're doing it the day they get inducted?
No.
No, okay.
They're doing it April 3rd. And they're doing it to celebrate the induction.
I see.
But they're doing an acoustic show. No word on who's performing. I'm assuming it's the current lineup, that the original fellas won't be stopping by anytime soon, unless it's to pelt them with casino chips or whatever they can throw from the audience. The reason it's happening at San Manuel, people speculate, is because it's near the Honda Center, and that's where the arena football team, the LA Kiss, plays its games. And the concert celebrates the opening of that season, so it all ties in. You can go to sanmanuel.com if you want to get tickets.
Well, nothing captures the excitement of arena football like a couple of 65-year-old guys playing acoustic guitars.
Without their makeup on.
That does get me pumped for the season.
At a different location.
I want to rock and roll all night.
Yeah, their songs won't.
And party every day. Boo! Go to the face! Put on your makeup! Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Sasha Gray is 26 years old today. Oh, the things I could talk to Sasha Gray about. Politics.
Yeah, sure.
Economics.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Bell's 28. He's going to be one of the new Fantastic Four. You may remember him from Billy Elliot, the little boy who wanted to dance ballet, and everyone made fun of him. Then became a smash Broadway hit musical, that movie. Taylor Hanson of the band Hanson's 31 years old today. Give me all my deal, but baby, tell me my deal.
that song.
Oh, you're going to be bopping all day, boys and girls.
Ah, that song.
What do you do when you've recorded your biggest smash hit before you reached puberty, and then you're 40 and you have to perform it on stage at the OCR fair?
You go, bop.
Bop. boom, bop. Riddle, yeah, bop.
Chris Klein's 35, Grace Park is 40, Billy Crystal 66. Q! You know, a lot of stars are so big, a lot of celebrities, entertainers are so big, they go just by their first name. Rarely does someone go just by their first initial.
Yeah.
Q! Quincy Jones is 81 years old today. And also, Michael Caine. Michael Caine is also 81 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 942.
I was telling you guys a story.
I know. Yep,
I was talking there, and all of a sudden, like, it was the song.
Pushed the button, turned you right off.
If I turn your mic on, it mutes you.
Yeah, we can't hear you. So, we can't hear any more about pancakes.
Sometimes that comes in useful. Hey, people, don't forget K-Rock presents Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. Tickets go on sale today at noon, today at noon, today at noon, today at noon, today at noon.
When?
Today at noon.
I'm sorry.
Noon today.
I'm unclear.
12 o'clock, noon today.
Time
p.m.?
It's noon. It's p.m.
It would be p.m., yes.
All right. Yeah. Noon p.m.?
Not noon p.m., no, 12 p.m.
Not noon a.m.?
No. It's noon p.m. Just noon.
Tomorrow at
no.
No,
it's today at
midnight
noon.
Midnight at tomorrow.
Today, Friday today.
Wednesday at 5?
Today, Friday.
Dusk on
at
Thursday.
Noon, 12 noon today.
All right. Got it.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat to get us out of the week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Speaking of April Foolishness, one of the participants in this year's Ha Ha Fest is Jim Jeffries.
Yay!
Nice guy, good man. He is not only playing our show, but he's also got his own gig coming up at the Club Nokia on March the 29th. Tickets are available now at AXS.com. Go there, buy his tickets, and go see Jim Jeffries live. You get a little taste, a little appetizer size, a little individual portion of Jim Jeffries at April Foolishness. But if you want the full meal, if you want the all-you-can-eat buffet, you check him out at Club Nokia on the 29th, and you will have yourself a good time. Guarantee, as the Cajuns say. Last night, it officially opened.
What officially opened?
Rocky the Musical.
Yay!
Woo! Woo!
Those kids aren't very discerning, are they?
Woo!
They like a lot of stuff.
It's getting mixed critical reviews, but overwhelmingly positive reviews from people who are going to see it. It's a fan favorite. People are really enjoying it.
All right.
I went to see it. I thought it was really good, you know? Because Rocky's like,
said one fan.
The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows.
That's true.
It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it.
Wow, sounds bad.
You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life.
That's true.
But it ain't about how hard you hit.
I got it right.
It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. All how much you can take and keep moving forward.
Life is hard. All we got to move forward.
That's how winning is done.
All right.
Okay, now, if you know what you're worth, go out and get what you're worth.
Life
but you
got
to be willing to take the hits.
Yes.
And not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody.
Okay, we're moving forward.
Cowards do that and that ain't you.
Okay.
You're better than that.
It's nice. Thanks for the pep talk, Rock.
Holy cow.
We get the message.
Rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
New York Times.
That's all in the play.
New York Times said, "Why the official curtain time is 8 p.m. The show doesn't really get started until 10:10 or so."
Oh my
snap,
gosh!
Boom! Pow! That's when the big climactic fight takes place between Rocky and Apollo Creed.
Okay.
Which apparently they've choreographed, and it's all expertly done, and then they go into, like, slow motion as if you're watching a movie and they fight in slow motion.
If I can change, you can change.
Okay, all right.
Everybody can change. Okay,
I wish you would change
now,
from being talky to not so much talky.
If you were in New York, Ralph, would you go see the Rocky musical?
Oh, absolutely. You have to be mentally irregular and not go see Rocky on stage, you know, because there is a movie.
Right.
And then what they do is they act that on stage, so you get, you know, the movie, but it's like real life in front of you, you know?
So you're in. Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You you know, let's say you like
right.
the movie.
We got it.
And then you go, you have an opportunity to see that movie, but it's like live
right.
for you. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be foolish not to go and see it, you know, entertainment with, you know, let's say you're with a girl, you know,
all right.
you're with a friend.
Okay.
And then you go, and then you see it, it's a movie, but it's live.
Gotcha. Noted.
This looks good. New show on ABC. Upcoming pilot called Selfie. A little comedy. Starring Doctor Who's Karen Gillan. Oh, God, I love her. John Cho's just been added to the cast. Getting good buzz, as they say. She plays a girl who's more concerned with getting likes on her Facebook page than she is about her job. Lisa. And, her breakup becomes a viral video for millions of people on YouTube, and that changes her opinion about the internet. So, sounds cute. Romantic comedy about the internet. And Beyonce is telling us what to do now. She has declared war on the world bossy. Bossy.
On the world? The word bossy?
The word bossy.
The word, she doesn't like it?
She hates it. She's joining a bunch of famous women and Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg in a viral campaign called BanBossy.com. BanBossy.
Is that an insult to a woman?
Yes.
By saying they're bossy.
Oh, because the gist of it, Kevin, is that when a woman's assertive, she's labeled as bossy. But when a man's assertive, he's a leader.
Ah.
Well, girls can be leaders, too.
I got you.
So stop using the word bossy if you know what's good for you. Bossy. Stop using it. Instead, we're just going to call them bitches.
I don't think.
Well, we used to call them bitches.
I don't. Then we stopped calling them bitches.
And
I think
that's over. Perfectionist and all of that. And now apparently it's bossy. But there's always a special word for women who.
Pretty sure that's over.
Are vocal.
It's over. Nothing is over.
Rocky, we
nothing.
Get it. Okay.
You just don't turn it off.
All right, Rocky, we understand. How about lippy? Can we just change it to lippy?
No, because that has more than one meaning.
That yes, broad is lippy.
First of all, broad really is good, don't. Too.
How about uppity? Can we use uppity?
Again, kind of more than one meaning.
Look, give me a list. Give me send me a list of banned words I can't say anymore, and I'll just forget about it. Okay,
passionate.
Sure. But that's in the bedroom, though, right? We're not talking about it in like a situation where they're at work.
Can be passionate about work.
Cranky? Can we use that one?
No.
Only if you want to be accurate.
You're missing it, Ralph.
That time of the monthy? Can we use that one?
If you want to get punched.
Just trying to figure out how to be politically correct these days, that's all. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Michael Caine, one of my favorites, 81 years old today. Quincy Jones, composer, conductor, producer, film producer, just the guy's done it all, 81 years old. Comedian Billy Crystal, 66. Grace Park from Hawaii Five-0 turns 40 years old. Chris Klein from American Pie is 35. Jamie Bell started off as Billy Elliot. Now he's going to be the Thing in the Fantastic Four movie that's coming up. He's 28. Actress Sasha Gray, 26 years old today. I bought her a razor for her birthday. Think she'll like it?
She didn't use it.
She did an entourage, but I'm just saying, you know, maybe she needs a new one.
Maybe.
And Taylor Hanson of the band Hanson, featuring Hanson in their new song Hanson from the album Hanson. No, I'll keep playing. Come on.
You will all.
Party machine. Party machine.
It's over. Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
Remix. So good. Those Hanson girls are bossy.
You are going to be singing that all weekend. Sorry.
Yeah, we will. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Thank you, Ralph. You know what we didn't mention is tickets for April Foolishness going on sale today at noon.
That's today?
Today.
What?
This very day at noon.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What about poop?
What about poop?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't know. Like, what is that?
Roll another one.
Oh my.
Just like the other one.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
This one seems to be about quit.
Kevin, what do you
and I need another hit.
Yes, keep it trippy, legalize everything. Controlled anarchy, that's what we're about. We can party and still maintain ourselves appropriately. That is my statement.
Roll another one.
Good morning. Can you make it through Friday?
Just like the other one.
What is up with Whitey?
This one seems to be about to end.
You are a delight.
I don't have another cent.
So, Kanye, you've been hanging out with Jesus lately. How's that going?
Great.
Just passing around.
She wears miniskirts and is promiscuous.
They'll probably have his picture there or something.
Just passing
you in the ponytail, is this what you want? Is this what any of you want?
What we want is what you got. Period. Time for you to leave, asshole.
Y'all don't have to go home, but y'all can't stay here.
All right, so this was great. Thanks again for coming in.
My pleasure.
We don't need to do the goodbye hug.
Is your plug finally over?
I suppose so.
They'll probably have his picture there with a sudden little...
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.